WRSC podcast, the November bye week edition. Gary Pasquis joined as always by Jeremy Hogue and Mike Lamb. Guys, the Trojans coming off a game up at Pullman, Washington that I think you'll certainly say for starting off in November, you want to start off with a win. That happened, 44-17 over the Cougars, and a game that when you look back at it on paper, there's a lot of stuff to point to and say, okay, good numbers there, good numbers there, good numbers there. But it was a game that when you really looked at in the first half, it was, you know, thank you defense for the Trojans. Thank you special teams. Thank you Washington State for some shaky execution on special teams, some strange play calls by Mike Leach. And then obviously taking their quarterback out of the equation was a big blow for them. But let's go ahead and just get some opening thoughts on what you saw from that game. Mike Lamb, go ahead and get us started.
It's interesting to me when I watch this Trojan squad, and they are really able to excel against inferior opponents. And I think back to the Colorado game. I think of the Fresno State game. They can just pour it on. And so it's great, but I don't necessarily take a lot of solace out of that when, you know, you do that against Washington State. I don't know how you pound your chest. They did good things. Everything kind of went their way. I hope they don't get a false sense of how good they are or that they're some world beater right now. For the Trojans, I did get this. They could have kind of folded their tent after the loss, and they could have come out with their heads down. Did not do that. So from a perspective of the Trojans, I like that part of it. But to sit there and think that a win against Washington State is something that they should pound their chest about is just not, you know, not something that I would think is the thing to do.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, Mike. I mean, I think, you know, we've got some young guys, and when you're young guys, sometimes you don't care who you're playing, right? You play anyone you play against, and you put up numbers like that, you score points. You get a guy like Juju Smith and the touchdown, you know, with three touchdowns. I mean, just all those sorts of things, and guys are going to jump up and down and celebrate, and that's great. You're glad for them to do that. But just like you said, I mean, you got to consider the opponent. I mean, right now, I think Washington State was playing probably one of the teams in the conference that was playing better early in the year than they're playing right now. They're sort of going in the wrong direction, and losing their quarterback sure didn't help, but it helped the Trojans. And so, you know, it's almost, you know, we've played against two sort of junior varsity teams between Colorado and Washington State, and, you know, we smoked them pretty good, and well, we should. I sort of agree with what you were saying, Gary. You know, you really watched the game. You know, there were a lot of things that the Trojans sort of struggled with, where if it weren't for Washington State, if it weren't for a big play here in special teams, a big pass there, you know, it wasn't a lot of sustained drives of pounding guys. It was just, you know, a big play here, a big play there. Defense makes a play. Special teams makes a play. All of a sudden, the score looks, you know, really dominant. But, you know, you really go back as if you were a coach watching film, and you'd say there's still a lot to work on. This is a young team that, you know, in many ways could have done better, and in many ways you're sort of thankful we weren't playing a better opponent on Saturday. But, you know, it's nice to now go into what amounts to sort of a half bye week or whatever you call it, getting ready for sort of a Thursday night game the following week. And it comes at a good time. I mean, the O-line is banged up. I think that they played okay, but not great. But, you know, probably helps them build some confidence and some chemistry with those three freshmen starting. And you know, we got one more game against Cal, who's dangerous, a lot more dangerous than Washington State, a lot more dangerous than Colorado, but is a game that you would say the Trojans should win, and then, you know, to prepare for those final two. But, yeah, hard to take away a lot from that game.
It's very interesting right now to see, you know, one game in the next 20 days, basically, for the Trojans after Washington State. That's kind of a quirky schedule. You kind of hit it on the head, Jeremy. I think as much as anything for this Trojan team, the chance to get healthy and to get some guys banged up and just get a little bit of a break. I thought Steve Sarkisian did an interesting thing this week, giving the guys the whole week off. You know, they won't be showing up again until next Saturday for a practice. Give your thoughts on it. Did you guys ever have, at this point in the season in November, a whole week off? And just wanted to hear your pluses and minuses on that. Jeremy.
Well, I think you got to read your team. It never happened to me, Mike. I don't know about you, and we had certainly had bye weeks, but even during those bye weeks, we were doing something, even if it was half pads or something, but just, you know, keeping the feet going, keeping the mind going. working on some technique things, working on some scheme things, just staying a little bit active while you try to let yourself heal up. But, you know, I gotta leave it to Sark to sort of let his team do what he feels that they need to do. It would surprise me. I'll just say this. You look at all these different position groups and where guys, you know, wide receivers taking a week off doesn't do anything, you know, doesn't cause me any concern. Giving Buck Allen a week off, you know, well-deserved, all those sorts of things. But, man, I'd sure think and be surprised if that O-line unit isn't getting together with offensive line coaching staff and at least sort of meeting, going through some drills, going through some walkthrough type stuff, and continuing to think and gel as a unit, because it was almost as much as it was a workmanlike, you know, sort of hard hat type of game for that offensive line, you could see how rusty and rough they are having three true freshmen up there starting together. There wasn't a lot of chemistry between the unit and the run game and other things that you'd like to think that they're using this sort of 10 days to continue to put some work in and try to help that develop.
When you say rusty, that's what I'm always concerned about when you have some time off. And I can remember when you had the time off from the end of the season to a bowl game. You know, back in the day, you were done at the end of November, and then the bowl game's not till January 1st. So you had 10 days off or whatever it was, and everybody came back rusty. And I can remember during byes, you're off a couple, 3 days, and you lose a little bit of something that you've got. So the things that are working well would concern me. The fact that you've got a quarterback that is just, you know, able to wheel and deal, and, you know, receivers are now starting to catch the ball from him. That would concern me a little bit. I think Jeremy's point about the offensive line, clearly that is warranted. But the other side of it, when you physically get beat up a little bit, and I remember Buck Allen at the end of the Utah game, you know, he looked like a running back would look. Sua Cravens and, you know, Coach Sarkisian has said that they looked at it and structurally there's nothing wrong. So if some time off for him can get him back, I believe very strongly that defense goes as far as Sua Cravens can take them. He is that player. So if he gets a chance to come back and heal up and really have a great push in November, then it's the perfect time. And so to let the team off, Steve Sarkisian knows these guys, has seen these guys. I don't think that, you know, everybody's going to be, you know, riding the Matterhorn every day at Disneyland. I'm pretty sure they're going to be around, and I think they're going to have some meetings. But I think it's great, you know, a chance to get back in the classroom right now. You know, you think about you're in the home stretch with school and get away a little bit and get away from football. And this is a team that, don't forget, mentally, they've been through a lot this year.
Yep.
A ton. So I don't think it's the worst thing for them to get away a little bit, take a step back from football, get some perspective, and then come back and have the push, because they got three games that will determine whether this season is a success or a failure.
I agree with that part so much, Mike. It just, when you see this team and you see the body blows with these tough losses, we all live and die with these losses, and they've been just brutal, some of them. And yeah, as a player, as a team, mm-hmm. I can totally understand right now. When Sark first said that, I was like, yeah, this team could use a break. That totally makes sense to me right now. So I think the emotional side of things almost as much as the physical side, but you certainly said it. We can give a long list of guys, you know, Sua, how about, you know, Soma Vanuku, you know, just on down the line of guys who could use a little rest right now. So going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But as we are in November, and I want to go, you mentioned Sua, I'm going to want to discuss this. I'm going to want to talk the offensive line, but I want to have it be part of this discussion. In Sarkisian's call the other night, he was asked about the month of November. And he said, what did you learn from Pete Carroll? Because Pete's record in November was obviously special. Didn't lose much. And he said, what Pete told him is you need to learn, lean on your strengths at that point. You know what your team does well. It's proven through the first part of the season. This is what they do. This is what they can execute. So let's kind of go through and say, how are you seeing this team right now? What has been proven as we're looking to get through into the month of November? Let's start off on offense. And I do want to start off on the offensive line and where things are right now, because last week saw a big shift with Toa Lobe and Don being moved out to left tackle, Khalil Rogers coming in, and I got a feeling we're going to do a little praising of Khalil Rogers on this part right now. But let's just give your thoughts on where things are for the offensive line. Mike, go ahead and get us started.
Well, it was an experiment that has been evolving since day one that this team got together. And to go out and play three freshmen, you know, redshirt junior, you know, it's just a very young, inexperienced crew. It actually went a little better than I thought it was going to, but I don't know that the challenge was necessarily there. That wasn't like the defense in front of Utah. Let's just put it that way. So I don't want to get a, you know, false sense of security that everything is going okay. They're not together. It's not cohesive. It's not the offensive line you would want to have in November. And I want to make a point that, you know, I know that the question was asked of Steve Sarkisian, where did you learn from Pete about November? But I will go back to my coach and Jeremy's coach. John Robinson talked about November all the time. This is not something new, and it's not something that anybody recently invented, because that's when the big games come up for USC, and it's always been that way, and especially in a year like this when you've got SC and Notre Dame. And it's not necessarily as much a mindset as what you said, Gary. You know your team now a little bit better. You understand where they are. You understand the things that they can do. But that having been said, this offensive line, in my opinion, is really in flux for being November.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think when you say what's the strengths of this team that you then rely on in November, you think about this offensive line and the fact that our running game has been, you know, Buck Allen has been so good in the first 2 months of the season. And you saw, to me, as much as he got some yards towards the end of the game and got his 100 and all that sort of stuff, but to me, that strength wasn't there against Washington State. We were not running the ball well. He saw us really become sort of a pass-first type of team, and I think it was sort of dictated by this offensive line. So, you know, I don't know that you can necessarily rely on the strength of this offense being Buck Allen in the running game here in this month of November. I'd like to think you could. It'd be a luxury if you could. But I think this is a team that's going to have to right now, I think the strength of the offense is Cody Kessler in the passing game, being very efficient with the ball, being accurate, you know, hitting guys on a lot of short plays and then every now and then hoping to break a big play in the passing game. To me, that is the strength of the offense. That's the strength that potentially opens up Buck Allen in the running game a little bit behind the, you know, this sort of beat up offensive line. But, you know, I really do think that you're going to see the Trojans rely on Cody Kessler a lot more in these last three games.
But Jeremy, if you look at the Washington State game, and you take away the opponent, you take away the game, the way the game went, but if you just look at the offensive flow, you can kind of say, okay, this is a way to do it. They got things going with the passing game early, got a couple breaks from Washington State, and then waited for the run game to develop. I think that is one of the things that I like about this offense is that, you know, they can get the passing game going early. They do have the guys to do it. I think we're starting to see Juju with the way he's emerging, and then Stephen Mitchell, boy, you know, we haven't even seen the surface of Stephen Mitchell yet. And then guys like Ajayne Harris, there are going to be guys there. And then, like you say, when you need to get the run going, it seems like you know you're going to be able to do that. Is that not what you guys are seeing, that this offense can do both when needed?
Well, I mean, think about it early in the year, Gary. Early in the year, it was, you know, we were all frustrated with the passing offense. You know, I mean, Cody would complete, you know, 80% of his passes without any picks, but his longest pass play would be 8 yards. And, you know, it was, you know, waiting for that passing game to develop and really relying on the strength of Buck Allen, you know, running even times when holes weren't necessarily there, behind an offensive line that was starting to mature and starting to gel. And I think, you know, I don't know, I just, when I watched that line on Saturday against, you know, a markedly inferior opponent, I didn't see us performing as strongly as we had running the ball against even better opponents when the line, you know, was maturing, you know, a few weeks earlier. And so I think we've sort of gotten a shift now to where now the strength of this offense is really the passing game. And Cody, you know, getting some of those new guys like Ajayne Harris and others involved in the passing game, and getting those weapons down the field and making that happen and open. And I'm not saying it's a concern of mine. To me,
I was going
to
say, is that necessarily a bad thing? Yeah,
not a bad thing at all. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. And in many ways, you know, that's a team that I played on with Mike Riley as our offensive coordinator. We use the pass with Keyshawn and all that sort of stuff to set up a running game and give us a 1,000-yard rusher because we didn't have the types of backs that you know that they've got right now and a guy like Buck Allen. And it's different, but it works. And I think, you know, we're going to have that because I don't see us as we start getting against, you know, better opponents. And certainly, you know, Notre Dame's defense is probably the strength of their team. You get to that type of a contest, I don't see us running the ball down their throat, you know, three times in a row. They're going to come up, stuff the run, and make us beat them with the pass. And I think we now have the ability with Cody and these wide receivers being much further along at this point in the season than they were early in the year to really have that be a weapon.
It's interesting that you brought up the point about what Mike Riley did as an offensive coordinator and that you guys set up the run with the pass, because one of the biggest misnomers I think in football is that you have to set up the pass by the run. You just want to strive for balance. So it's not the end of the world if you're better at throwing the football than you are at running the football. So I'm actually pretty comfortable with that this can transpire and the Trojans can be effective with it. This is an incredibly good quarterback. He understands it. He gets it. He's tough. He's mentally focused. If he throws a pick, it's like it never happened. That's the leader on the offense. As good as Buck Allen is, that's the leader on the offense. And the reason I emphasize so much him being tough, because he's taken some shots this year that have been kind of astonishing that he jumped up from. The one in Utah comes to mind, of course. And the fact that he's always a nanosecond away from being crushed. And that's part of this offensive line and the protection and the things that are going on. He has such great pocket presence and awareness. He feels the pressure. He steps out, moves up in the pocket or moves to the side. It's kind of astonishing. Some guys play their whole life and they don't get that. And he also keeps his head and his eyes down the field at all times. That, to me, is something that very few quarterbacks have. He's very advanced with what he does. So if you guys want to talk about why this team is successful on offense and what it does, it comes down to the quarterback, and I hate doing that because it's such an oversimplification, right? You know, I mean, everybody says that, oh, quarterback this, quarterback that. But with this Trojan offense, it's all running through him. And the only thing that has let him down to this point have been receivers that don't hold on to the football that's put in their hands.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything in the last three games, is there anything from the offense right now that you're saying, boy, would really like to be seeing more of this right now? Mike.
I wish that they would do more gap stuff. I wish, you know, they run more counter and do that type of thing. But I think that it's so tough for them because they haven't established, you know, that this is a team that you have to go stop a certain play. You know, if they're trying to run an inside zone scheme, you know, it's not like, well, we have to stop that because they're so good at it. So because they don't have, they have young guys and they have young athletes in the offensive line, I wish that they would really establish running that counter gap stuff a lot more.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say is that what concerns me coming down the stretch is that the offensive line is not necessarily going to be as strong as we saw it sort of at the midpoint of the season as they were starting to gel and come together, and that you're going to see teams stuff the run and really start to attack the backfield with some blitzing and other things to really get after Cody in the pass game. And I think, you know, I'm imagining that we're going to see, you know, I don't know about Cal, but certainly as we go into UCLA and Notre Dame, I think we're going to see very aggressive defensive fronts that are coming after, you know, run blitzes that can turn into pass blitzes that try to keep us from getting balanced and staying balanced on offense and getting us in down and distances that are going to be difficult for us to to sustain long drives. With that means opportunities are there, you know, in the passing game or even in the running game to potentially crease some guys and get a big play. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that against UCLA and Notre Dame, and I think the offense is going to be more challenged than it's been because of the five guys up front.
I've been kind of surprised that because of where this line is, that there hasn't been more, you know, of a screen portfolio, you know, something to when there is pressure to be able to dump that ball off and try to screen. And I know part of it has been, you know, that the term bubble screen is, you know, taboo at USC with the alumni right now. But I'm a little bit surprised that there hasn't been more of that. And if Jeremy's theory is correct, and I think it probably is, you're going to see a lot of different blitzes and a lot of different looks and different pressures. That's a pretty effective tool to counter that.
Before we flip over to defense, I just want to ask you guys specifically, this was the first game after Wheeler down where we did see Toa in there at left tackle and Rogers at left guard. Just your quick thoughts on how those guys did. Jeremy.
I thought Rogers had a really, really good game. Kudos, hats off to him. I thought Toa played really well, but again, I think it was a lot of it. It's the competition. I mean, he is a hard hat wearing, you know, working man's type of guy. So you have to love him and his attitude. But again, I don't think he's necessarily blocking the. If there was a game that you wanted to start at left tackle and sort of get a warm up in your system, you know, it's probably Washington State. So. I'm sure he's aware of that, and I'm sure the coaching staff is aware of that. He got beat on some plays, and he missed some assignments, mm-hmm. both in the run game and the pass game. But, I mean, that's to be expected. But, you know, you have those type of things in a very close game, and it's a different story. And you're telling a different report on a Tuesday morning call than you were if it was a blowout type game. So, he's still got some growing up to do, but he's got a little bit of time to keep working and get there. But the tough games are coming for sure.
Yeah, and I had a moment, kind of a Khalil Rogers, where you've been all my life moment. And you know, where have you been? You know, was one of those moments. And you know, it's not easy to come in and do that. And you know, they lost their best offensive lineman, and you don't replace somebody like Chad Wheeler and just like, oh, okay, you know, here we go. Next guy up. So that part of it was a success. As far as Toa, I don't think I can add much to what Jeremy said. It's a guy that they are very enamored with, and he has done some things that young players do. And in this last stretch, these last three games, he's really going to have to raise a level of what he's doing. He's gotten a little bit better and a little bit more experience, but it's a tough spot and it's a tough place to play. And you know, it bears repeating: if you're left tackle and you've got a right-handed quarterback, there's a little pressure on you and that offense to make sure that you do things right or get you the help that you need. And I'm not sure that he doesn't need some help. He doesn't need a running back to chip or somebody to come over and kind of help him out a little bit.
Yeah, I actually, would think, and it's something I thought a lot about during the game, it's like, okay, you come down the stretch, I would be surprised if we didn't see a lot of formations with the tight end next to him, you know, either chipping or doubling or helping him against some of the defensive ends we're going to see in the weeks ahead. And a closing comment on Khalil Rogers, and Mike, I don't know, Gary, you too, I'd be interested in your comments, but it seemed like we saw a lot of emotion out of him, which was great to see. And almost like he's a little bit of a spark plug in there from being a guy that's fired up and plays with some passion and plays with some emotion. And, you know, sometimes when guys are banged up and you're moving around and you're changing positions and guys are thinking a lot, and it's hard to have that fire and passion and emotion. And he seems to bring that. And I think that's a bigger asset than a lot of people realize.
And it's something he's brought ever since he got to USC last year. And you really felt for Khalil. He was one of those guys who, you know, all through spring ball and fall camp, he was the starting right guard. He was running with the ones. And it was to the point that we come into the season before Fresno State, it looks like Khalil's going to be the starter. And then he tweaked his knee. And it was one of those 2-week knee tweaks. But While you're on the sidelines for 2 weeks, Damian Mama steps in, then Viana Talamavau steps in, and all of a sudden, where is Khalil Rogers? And so good for him to get his opportunity again. And like you say, Jeremy, those couple of those pulls when he came up firing off of delivering a pancake block and he's whipping his arm in the air, yeah, good for you, Khalil. Good for you to see you out there doing that.
You like pancake blocks, do you, Gary? Is that something
you guys are rubbing off on me. You're rubbing off on me. All right, let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. And when you're talking identity, I think it's a little tougher even on defense than it was on offense right now. It seems to me so often on defense, what works for us is when our great players make great plays. If Leonard Williams does something, Hayes Pollard, Sua Cravens, and I'm going to add a Dory Jackson to the list right now. It seems like for the most part, when those guys step up, things go well, but I think they're still concerned. So let's pop the same question we did with the offense. What do you guys see as the identity of this defense right now? Mike, start us off.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up a Dory Jackson because it was not very long ago. Here's this raw kid, and, you know, what's going to happen and what are they going to do with him? And I think that you're correct in moving him into the top four or top three defensive players for the Trojans right now. And that kind of growth comes from a player that clearly has physical gifts, clearly that mentally gets it, and the coaches have, you know, got him in a position to where he can succeed. And I also enjoyed, you know, the comments of Steve Sarkisian afterwards, like, you know, hey, this is a guy that would like to do a lot of things, but we need him over on defense. And I think that's totally accurate.
Well, wasn't that great, though? Wasn't that great? You know, talking about a great game he had, but, yeah, he's still complaining to the coach, get me on offense, coach.
Yeah.
I could do more.
Yeah. And that's a young guy, but it was one of those moments where I was nodding my head when Steve said that. Like, that's right. You have to do that with him. That's your job as a coach. You know, you've got to put him in the position that helps you and also helps him. So I like that. And if you've got a team that's going to run as many plays as Washington State does, and if they're going to put the ball up that much, your secondary is going to get tested. So he's turned into that guy that gets tested and has gotten better. I will also say this about Kevon Seymour. He's a guy that everybody was going after, and I kept thinking to myself, man, you're going to continue to get tested. And he's gotten more physical. He's figured out a way to compete. There are times when I think that he could probably get called for what he's doing, but so what? It's better to have that happen than to get beat for touchdowns. You know, it's better to give up 15 yards than give up 6 points. So I've seen some growth in those guys, but especially Adoree, who's, I think, you know, Jeremy, I would imagine we're all in agreement. We think he's going to be a special player by the time it's all said and done and he leaves USC.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I could tell you even after the Utah game, I was like, I think he might be my new favorite player. I mean, he's just, talk about a guy rising to the occasion and not being afraid of the moment, actually sort of wanting the moment. I mean,
yeah. He
sort of embodies that. You can just see he sort of soothes that. But in terms of, you know, Gary, your original question is sort of, you know, okay, what's the strength of this defense? What's the identity that you sort of rely on in November? You know, I sort of sit there and you say, well, what is the best thing we do? And it's similar to what you said. Guys might move the ball on us. Guy, you know, teams might, you know, get some yardage, whatever it might be. But eventually, during the course of drives, we have a player, whether it's a Leonard Williams, whether it's a Dory Jackson, whether it's Sua, whether, you know, Hayes Pollard, whatever it might be, somebody steps up and makes a play, and we end up having very good scoring defense in terms of keeping guys from getting a lot of points on the board. At least in the games where we've played well, that's been our strength. And, you know, maybe we haven't finished well in the last 5 or 6 minutes of these different games, but, you know, other than those points, it's been that scoring defense where we just, you know, we'll bend a little bit, but we won't break, and we'll find a way to make a play and keep guys out of the end zone. You know, I think it goes back to, Mike, what you said earlier in the game. This defense may go as far as Sua might take us. When, why? Because we do. We sort of have one of those players at each level. Leonard Williams is that player in the front. Sua is that guy in that sort of hybrid safety linebacker position. And now you've got sort of got Adoree in the back. And those three guys are finding ways to sort of make plays when their opportunity comes during the course of drives. And it's a really big concern when all of a sudden Sua Cravens isn't there. They've used him so well in terms of not only making plays just in his base defense, but also coming off the edge on some blitzes. He's been probably the most if not Leonard, definitely him, I think, is, you know, making those disruptive plays that sort of take a drive and all of a sudden you get guys into second and 14 or third and nine as opposed to a better down and distance that they might have otherwise. And we need that. And I don't know where we go without him. So it was obviously great news for all Trojan fans to hear that, you know, it was just a knee sprain and that they hope that with a little bit of rest he'll be back on the field. I will tell you, as much as, you know, when we talk about offense, we don't talk about Cal being, you know, necessarily all that of a, that big of a threat to the Trojan offense. The Cal offense is certainly a threat to any defense, and those guys will put up points. And you really look at their team, they have not really had a game. I think they played Washington was the only team that blew them out. I mean, they put up points on Oregon. They put up points on everybody. They put up almost 50 against Oregon State last weekend. They will sling the ball around. They will run the ball out of different formations, and they will score points. And they, if Sue is not healthy and in the game as part of an anchor of our defense, you know, it concerns me, certainly, just even going into the Cal game, that we end up in some shootout that we don't want to be in.
If you don't have Sua, you can lose all three of these games. And I'm not saying you will, but it's just, you know, it's a possibility. He means that much to the defense. And to wrap up on your original question, Gary, you know, Hayes Pollard has been a player that all of a sudden, at a very opportune moment, makes a play.
Yes.
And it really, that's been somebody that has not necessarily, you know, been flashy, but he has flashed at times and very opportune. So, yeah, I think that this defense has learned a lot about itself. They're probably starting to figure out how this system works. I think they're probably a little more cognizant of what to do at the end of the game than they were a little earlier on in the season. So I've seen a ton of growth with this defense overall, just like I've seen the growth from the receiving core on offense.
When I was sitting there, you know, going through all this stuff for today and thinking about, okay, leaning on the defense, what's the strength of the defense? And you're talking Leonard, you're talking Sue, you're talking Dory. But like you, Mike, I kept on coming back. You know, it's not that we're undervaluing Hayes, but I hope there's some real appreciation from everybody out there about what this guy has brought, really, for four straight years. And if you look at one, you know, gone for half of the first half of Boston College, and you can really make the argument looking back on, boy, if he's there, who knows what happens in that game. But you're going to talk about a guy who's going to end up leading the team in tackles for 3 years.
Yeah.
He was second in the fourth year. My goodness. How much more productive can you be than that? And when I think the inside linebackers between him and Anthony, do they ever come out?
Yeah, I don't know that they do, and it's a real testament to a player that can lead the team in tackles. I don't care how good your defensive line is that can set you up as a linebacker, really, to, you know, kind of be the star. If you do it consistently like that, it's pretty astonishing. I wanted to throw something out, and I'd do it now if it's okay, Gary, before we move on. I don't want to forget this. And I want to ask Jeremy a question. I want to compare and contrast. I want to take him back to when he was a player at USC, and I want to hear if John Robinson said the same things about November to him that he said to us. I want to know if the message changed or if it was the same. What did you hear when you were playing at USC about November from Coach Robinson?
Well, no, I mean, shoot, he spent a ton of time talking about November, and obviously that was when we were going to play the big games on our schedule. That was when we were going to either win the conference or lose the conference, because we were going to be in a position when we got into November to be playing for a conference championship. That was when we were going to leave our mark with, you know, he didn't talk a lot about polls, but you sort of got a sense that, yeah, that's what he's talking about, is that people are going to remember what you do in November when you're being selected for different teams, whether, you know, different, you know, whether you're going to play for national championship, all those sorts of things. It was all the rest of the season. I mean, I think probably Mike, most notably, and maybe you heard this as well, everything else we did was setting ourselves up for November. You know, be in a position when you get to November to play for it all. And that was his message to us over and over and over.
And Gary, I think this is one of the traditions that the players know and understand, and it was kind of unspoken. You know, if you didn't play for the team, you weren't going to hear this stuff. But in my mind, it's right up there with gloomy Gus Henderson and George Tirebiter, and you know, just all the things that I associate with USC football is November and what's transpiring. And I'm hoping that this is a team that understands that. And that was I asked Steve Sarkisian this question. It was funny. We're out the desert Trojan Club. And he had kind of said, oh, you know, I hear these questions all the time. And I said, oh, I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe you haven't asked before. I said, what did you learn from Pete Carroll, and what did you learn from John Robinson? And they were, you know, they're on the same stage. And I think that, you know, one of the things that he said was, you know, I learned the team building part of it, you know, and from John Robinson, and, you know, I was keeping guys up and doing those things. I learned from Pete, you know, something good is right around the corner. And I think there are certain tenets that successful offensive coaches have, and that is having your guys ready to go in November and being able to grind it out. And so I think an underlying theme here is Jeremy and I are both kind of worried that this is not a team that can grind it out in November. And I think that's one of your concerns about, you know, it's a team that's going to have to throw the football to probably win. But I just wonder where the mentality is. I wonder if this staff understands the team well enough now to do those types of things.
Well, and you look at okay, this team has had a problem finishing games and getting, you know, it's been widely reported. I don't need to recount it. And the question is this going to be a team that doesn't realize how to finish a season? And, you know, can they take what they've learned and take, you know, even in now, okay, this is going to develop into a team that can finish games, and can you put that into, okay, yeah, this is also going to be a team that finishes a season? And like you said, Mike, it's a grind, and you're going to finish with potentially, you know, two of the best teams you're going to face all season are going to be the last two games you play. Mm-hmm. And they happen to be the biggest, you know, rivalry games for the school, and the most emotional games, and, you know, with sold out crowds and all that great stuff as well. So there isn't going to be a bigger stage. There aren't going to be bigger games, and it's not going to mean more than it does in those last 2 weeks. And you know, in some ways it's like, you know, oh my gosh, are they ready? In other ways it's, you know, why in the heck won't you be ready? What else could you ask for? This is what you play for. This is why you go to USC, is to get ready to finish a season like that. And if they do it the right way, you know, who knows what will happen with conference and everything else. But if they do it the right way, you know, that's one heck of a way to end the season and set yourself up for a great bowl game, and then also set yourself up for a great 2015.
And my last comparison and contrast to John Robinson, he would always say to us, those are the games that you're going to remember. These are the games you're going to remember. And he was talking about UCLA and Notre Dame. And sure enough, as I think back, it was those games in November that I remember to this day with a lot of clarity. And your point, Jeremy, when and people ask you, oh, why'd you go to USC? Well, if you're asking the question, you probably don't understand why. And I can't explain it to you. You know, you don't have a point of reference that I can explain it. And it is those games, and that's what you want to do, and you want to play in those, and you want to win those.
And that opportunity is sitting right in front of this team. I think that's what is really exciting here at beginning the last month. You know, get through this Cal game, take a bye week and see what happens with Cal. But if that game does come the way that the Trojans want it to, the way that this season, for all the ups and downs and all the roller coasters, yeah, as you just said, Mike, if you're a Trojan, mm-hmm. and you can have it at the end with UCLA and Notre Dame, boy, that's going to be a lot of fun. To see what happens with this football team, and certainly looking forward to it. So, good recap today for the bye week. We'll do this again next week. For Mike Lamb and Jeremy Hogue, this is Gary Paskowitz. You're listening to the We Are SC podcast.